Sit back, relax, and enjoy as Don Tony gives you news and reviews from AEW, NXT, and indie wrestling too.
Know what's happening in the world of wrestling without the hate and clickbait.
It's Wednesday night, Dawn-o-mite.
And now, your host, Don Tony.
I can't say you miss me because I'm here so many other days during a week. Wednesday night. After about a 9 or a 10 week hiatus on Wednesdays, I am back. Thursdays are now Wednesdays. Good evening, everybody. Wednesday night Dynamite is in effect. I am Don Tony, as always. I want to thank you for joining me. And if you're not aware of it already, the announcement was made this morning. Yours truly is now a member of Pro Wrestling TV. Now you could get all my content on demand. You could watch it on every platform, Roku, Samsung, any way you want. Plus, you got tons of other wrestling there. And I tell you, when you really look at the network, I mean, they only started 2 months ago. These are shows exclusive to their network. And once again, I'm kind of around royalty. I mean, technically the only non-wrestler to have a podcast over there. So yeah, Pro Wrestling TV. I will post some links. In fact, you know what? You can post a link right now, so you could bookmark that. Either link will bring you right to the page. Download the app, show support, show love. And big shout out to all of my jealous folk out there that couldn't even take a moment to say, hey, good luck, congratulations, so cool, you know, nice to see. You know, I'm telling you, it's amazing across the board, just in real life. You post certain good things and everyone will ignore you because that, if they can't have it, nobody can have it. So it's all good. It's all good. Look, we'll have some fun tonight. You know, on this show, we tell it like it is. Now, for everybody who is live in the chat room right now, big shout out to the first person who could tell me who that. Someone in the chat room. I have a picture up on the screen right now. For my audio only friends out there, you don't have to actually go video to see this. I'll get to it in a moment. By the way, who that? Someone in the chat, you know, quickly. All right. Somebody said Epico. All right. We got Primo. I don't have a tan. It's just the lighting, I think, tonight. Nobody knows who that is. Not one person. Okay. Benjamin. Not bad. Manu. Dream 101 says that's Carl Jones. Okay. Not bad. M Hawk with the attempt at a funny. Anyone out there? Anybody? Someone in the chat? You want bragging rights? I want to give you a shout out. Anybody? Nobody. Nobody. All right. Harris B. We got Rocky Romero. That's a good one. That's a good one. Lince Dorado without the mask. Yeah, that is Aaron Hanare, who appeared tonight on AEW Dynamite. You know, I truly believe this, and I'm not trying to be a dick about it, but obviously if I say this on social media, no one is going to go along with it, because then it's a slap in the face to AEW, it's a slap in the face to New Japan, it's a slap in the face for a lot of fakes out there. Tonight on Dynamite, we had Aussie Open and Aaron Hanare of the United Empire. They appear, they attacked FTR and Trent Beretta. They're going to have a match on Rampage Friday. Now, I have no problem with them showing up. Will Ospreay showed up as well. This is to lead into Forbidden Door. We expected this. I have no issue with them appearing tonight. But we had about 7,000 fans chanting at the top of their lungs, holy shit, holy shit. I promise you, 98% of that crowd, if you were to put two indie guys from Ditto Championship Wrestling out of Lupe, Texas, they would have chanted holy shit anyway, because somebody attacked FTR. Holy shit. Holy shit. We see a logo. Forbidden Door. Come on. You want further proof? And again, this is so unpopular. No one is dare going to say, DT, you know, you're spot on with this. If you want a little fun tonight, and look, I will be the first to admit it myself. I don't care about Aussie Open. I don't care about Aaron Hanare, because I am not a big fan of New Japan Pro Wrestling. Look at the ratings in the United States. I've seen weddings have more people show up than watches New Japan on a weekly basis. Why is that? Why is that? That 900,000 fans that watch Dynamite, you can't even get 10% of them to watch New Japan Pro Wrestling on TV. Not even 10, that's about 5%. Not even 5%. But we're supposed to believe that 95% of that crowd, or even 25% of that crowd, knew who the fuck these people are. Seriously, come on. And here, you want a little more proof? Go on Twitter, do an advanced Twitter search. Now look, regular fans, this is not targeting regular fans. I'm talking about websites, I'm talking about podcasters, I'm talking about news sites, bloggers, reporters that gush everything about AEW. Here's a little fun tonight. Take all of those people who gushed big time about Aussie Open appearing tonight, about Aaron Hanare, appearing tonight. Take those who tweeted, this is epic, this is amazing, I'm shaking, I'm gushing. Then I want you to take that person and do an advanced Twitter search and see if they ever once tweeted about these guys. I could tell you right now, 6 podcasters tonight that called this an epic moment. They can't wait to see FTR. Dream match. 6 I already have that I did an advanced Twitter search. And out of those 6 podcasters, how many tweets did I find about Aussie Open or Aaron Hanare? Big fat goose egg. That's how epic, amazing, unbelievable fantasy match it is. You know, let's be a little realistic here. Almost nobody here live even had a clue who that was that I posted earlier. And from time to time, I'll throw a New Japan wrestler up there and I'll say, who that? And I guarantee you about 98% of everybody tuning in has no idea what that is. We used to do that back in the days with TNA Wrestling. For fun, at USA Pro Wrestling shows, we would take a picture or two of the young up-and-comers in TNA. This is back in like 2004, 2005. And we would print it up and we say, who that? And nobody would have a clue who that is. And that's the truth. That's true. Now, let's also be honest. Tonight's episode of Dynamite was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. Couple of things that I would have changed right off the bat. First of all, thank God. Nothing personal against this guy, but thank God we didn't have John Moxley versus Wheeler Michinoku, as I like to call him, or Yuta Michinoku. He reminds me of Taka Michinoku in size, in look, in ability. And Taka Michinoku was a popular wrestler back then. But, you know, him eliminating Hobbs, him eliminating all these people, I know they're aligning him with Moxley and Danielson, but sorry, man. Sorry, to me, it's like John Silver. John Silver is one of the most beloved wrestlers in AEW. He had no fucking business being in that battle royal tonight. It should have been Hangman Page. It should have been Wardlow. Here, common sense. Okay, Wardlow is not in the battle royal tonight. He comes out and cuts a promo. Now, obviously, fans online, look at all the people that were not in the battle royal tonight that should have been. Wardlow comes to the top of everybody's list. Why is he not in the battle royal? So obviously AEW thinks we'll be prepared for all those fans that are going to say, oh, what horrible booking. Why wasn't Wardlow in the battle royal? They have Wardlow come out and cut a promo tonight. And he's going to tell us why he opted out of the Battle Royal. This is not on Wardlow. This is on writing. Wardlow gets on the microphone and he says, the reason why he didn't go in the Battle Royal is because CM Punk is our world champion. And until CM Punk is healed, I don't want that championship. I don't want the title until CM Punk returns. When you return, look out. But then he immediately challenges Scorpio Sky for the championship. Scorpio Sky is injured. Tell me the logic there. Tell me the logic there. He's fucking injured too. Just horrible writing, man. Some of the writing tonight was awful. By the way, this Battle Royal, I say what I said last week. Eddie Kingston should have been the one going to the main event on Dynamite tonight. Eddie Kingston is the most over wrestler, maybe next to Bryan Danielson and Jon Moxley, in AEW. And two close friends battling it out on Dynamite to close it out, that should have been Eddie Kingston versus Jon Moxley. But Tony Khan, it's a lot of smoke and mirrors. If he was that much behind, let me ask you this. You saw the Battle Royal tonight. Who do you think Tony Khan seems to be more interested in pushing to the next level? Wheeler Yuta or Eddie Kingston? Eddie Kingston got very, you know, uneventfully eliminated. You know, he's standing on the apron and then Hager eliminates him. You know, that should have been Kingston and Moxley, and it wasn't. They went with Kyle O'Reilly. You know me. I am a big fan of Kyle O'Reilly. Loved his work in NXT. You know, he came to AEW because he wanted to fight better names. You know, with all due respect, he didn't want to fight rookies anymore in NXT. And, you know, he put on an incredible performance tonight against Moxley. Kyle O'Reilly, out of the entire Undisputed Elite that is signed with AEW, I think Kyle O'Reilly has probably had the most impressive run for me. I probably enjoyed Kyle O'Reilly more than Adam Cole, certainly more than Bobby Fish. Not saying that Bobby Fish hasn't done a good job. He has as well. He's done more than I expected him to. But still, that main event tonight should have been Eddie Kingston versus Jon Moxley. That would have been much more intriguing, but they went with Kyle O'Reilly. You saw the title for tonight's show over here. We had Moxley in the title going to Forbidden Door all along. I mean, it was Captain Obvious. You could see that. Plus, Moxley's promo tonight was a little confusing. Moxley talking about 3 years in the making. He's going to win at Forbidden Door and become AEW champion. 3 years in the making. Wasn't he champion already? So there was a few things tonight that I kind of like, I don't know. I mean, next week, Wardlow, because of tearing up some type of paper that Mark Sterling insists that he fights 20 people, 20 security guards next week on Dynamite. I had a picture. I don't know if I still have it over here. I must have closed it, but as soon as I saw that 20, oh yeah, I still have it here. 20 security guards. I remembered this. Yeah, Randy Orton and John Cena are not impressed. Anybody remember, what was that, 2008? When Cena and Randy Orton took on the entire Raw roster? Was it 20 on 2? So we're going to have Wardlow next week in an elimination match against 20 security guards. And I saw people writing tonight, that's going to be epic. 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 Let's just keep it in proper perspective. It's going to be fun. It's going to be good. But everything is epic, amazing. Look at the goosebumps. This is real. I'm shaking. That's kind of one of the things that I did not miss, you know, not doing Wednesday shows. All right, so let's run down the shows tonight. Talk a little bit about NXT as well. A couple of little programming notes, couple of news tidbits. Now, the good news with CM Punk And look, I know last week's Rampage was a little confusing. CM Punk, is he relinquishing the title? Is he not relinquishing the title? The surgery was a success on his leg. Now, AEW has not specifically revealed what exactly was wrong with him. So, you know, I'm not going to jump the gun and I'm not going to put something out there that could possibly be wrong. But the good news is that the surgery was not as serious as they expected. That tells me something with muscle. That tells me something with maybe tendons. And the reason why I say that is because if you have a broken bone and an x-ray reveals a broken bone, even if they have to set it or whatever they have to do, the x-ray shows, you know, the crack doesn't mysteriously or magically get a little better once they go in there. Usually something like this, that involves muscle or tendon. So if that's the case, CM Punk may only be out for about 2 months. Believe me when I tell you, 2 months will go like this. So in hindsight, keeping the title on CM Punk, I have no problem with it at all. None whatsoever. But I will continue to say this. You have an entire roster of worthy wrestlers who are worthy of becoming AEW champion. Okay, the Battle Royal tonight, most of the people in there, you know, nothing against the Ass Boys or Max Caster. They had no business being in there. I don't care how fucking entertaining they are. They had no business being in there. Just like if WWE did a battle royal to determine the number one contender for Jay, Drew Gulak should not be in there. There's some names should not be in there. But I could let that go. What I still cannot let go is this. Out of the entire AEW roster, tell me why Tanahashi or Goto are worthy to become possibly AEW interim world champion. You have an entire fucking roster who have been working for that company for years. And just because you're doing a joint pay-per-view, you take half of the tournament, because it is a tournament, you take half and you give it to New Japan Pro Wrestlers. Again, this is Tony Khan appeasing his own fandomhood. That is not logical. And for the regular wrestling fan, most don't have the balls to say it publicly. That makes zero sense. None whatsoever. So in the end, I mean, it seems pretty obvious. Moxley has to be the champion. Seriously, you think Tanahashi or Goto for the next couple of months are going to stay in the United States and be interim champion? And let's see, what fucking promo are they going to cut? Is Mark Sterling going to represent them? I mean, this is Captain Obvious. At least make it feel. Why? Because it's Forbidden Door. Does an AEW wrestler have to wrestle a New Japan wrestler? Explain that to me. We've seen WWE go to Japan and work years back with other Japanese promotions. And guess what? On those cards, you had Japanese wrestler face Japanese wrestler. Sometimes they would go to Mexico back in the day. You would have Mexican wrestler take on Mexican wrestler. Sometimes they go to a different country. You have WWE wrestler face WWE wrestler. So why is it here that every single match has to be a New Japan opponent? Why? Why? Because Tony Khan wants that? I think it's absolutely asinine. No New Japan. Takeshita, or some of you say Takeshita. Takeshita is the only one that I would say, okay, you know, he's impressed me. He's wrestled a flurry of matches. It looks like he's staying for a little while. All right. I could deal with that. I had no problem with him being in the Battle Royal. But to have half of your tournament featuring New Japan talent as your interim champion, that is just moronic. And it is stupid. And it's pretty fucking terrible that people out there are so petrified because they want to be part of the cool kids club, you know, gushing about AEW. And you see it. It's obvious. So we'll find out who John Moxley's opponent is going to be after June 12th when Dominion goes down. We will see what happens. Now, tonight on Dynamite also, we got another title and another tournament. Now, how many belts is this now for AEW? 15? I think it's 15 titles now for AEW. WWE right now has 9. And you remember when people used to say WWE has too many belts? You have the Universal Championship. You have the WWE Championship. You have the Raw Women's Champion, SmackDown Women's Champion. You have the Raw and SmackDown Tag Team Championships. You got the 24/7 title and the Women's Tag Team Championships. That's 9. Between Ring of Honor and AEW, I believe they have 15 titles now. So for all of these people on that side of the aisle that said, oh, you know, WWE, too many titles. This is their latest championship. The AEW All Atlantic Championship. Now, yes, they already have a new tournament. Tonight, they advertised Pac versus Buddy Matthews. And these guys found out, quote unquote, that their match was actually going to be a tournament match. And the winner is going to be crowned at Forbidden Door. For those with video, you could see that each wrestler is represented by a particular country. Buddy Matthews is representing Australia. Pac is representing the United Kingdom. Hopefully I get all my flags right. Ethan Page is representing Canada. Miro is representing Bulgaria. Penta is representing Mexico. Malachi Black, I believe, is representing the Netherlands. And then you have two, not one, but two New Japan pro wrestlers. Everybody is a country, but New Japan. I never knew that New Japan was a country. I mean, why not put the fucking Japanese logo over there? So they have New Japan. Now, based on what I said before, that AEW is insisting on having AEW wrestler face New Japan wrestler, can we fucking figure out who is going to be on one side in this final? It's going to be a New Japan pro wrestler versus... Now, tonight, if we go back, we had Pac beat Buddy Matthews. Next week, we're going to have Ethan Page take on Miro. And a lot of people think that Miro will win that one. So it'll come out down to Pac versus Miro. So it's going to be, for the Atlantic title, it's going to be Pac or Miro going to Forbidden Door to take on probably a wrestler from New Japan. And guess what? I will not be surprised if a New Japan pro wrestler wins this championship. Even though, if you look at the front of the belt, you see USA. USA, look, there's not even a wrestler from the United States. Unless a wrestler from New Japan who used to be in the United States is wrestling. That could possibly be. But I think that title was designed to have an AEW championship linger around New Japan Pro Wrestling. So another tournament, everyone. Sooner or later, the tournaments are going to dry up. Let's be honest. You know, and it's only a matter of time that Tony Khan maybe goes a little AWA and brings back the Team Challenge Series. Back in, what, 88, they were giving away $1 million. What would Tony Khan give away? $1 billion? $1 billion! Look, back then, you see the team, Sarge's, Snipers, Larry's Legends. We'll have Utah's Putas versus Brian's Lions. Versus Darby's Barbies. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. I'm so excited. I get chills. I'm a little kind of tired of tournaments. Because you know what's coming right after this, right? You know the Trios titles are coming very, very soon. And guess what's going to be needed to crown Trios champions? A tournament. Okay, so let's fill in the blanks tonight a little bit with Dynamite. Oh, by the way, big shout out for someone who can tell me this. Friends, those in the chat room, I'll give a shout out to the first person who gets this right. Tell me who that. I want their actual names. Tell me who that. Let's see. Chat room, who is that? I want the actual wrestlers' names. Let's see. Somebody should have it typed already. Do we get a quick shout out? Okay, Rob says it's John Moxley and Miz. You know what? That's not bad. Mark Baskin from Mighty Mighty, that's not bad. Harris B says it's Josh Briggs. Okay. All right. Yes, okay, good. We got someone got part of it, right? And someone else got it. But you see what I mean? It took about 20-something guesses before someone got a wrestler right. It's Kyle Fletcher and Mark Davis. But you really think, like I said, go to those same social media accounts and just type those names in. Do an advanced Twitter search and see if they ever tweeted about them once, and you won't find anything. That just gives you an idea as far as what people really, how they really looked at these people. So, all right, so we had the Battle Royal to open up Dynamite tonight. And, you know, look, we're not going to get into the press release that AEW issued last week. Whoever issued that, you know, was stoned and having the munchies because they took something that should have been explained in about three sentences and they wrote five paragraphs about it. But really what it came down to was they were doing a Battle Royal tonight. The winner of the Battle Royal was going to take on Moxley at the end of the night. And whoever wins in that match goes on the Forbidden Door to fight to become the AEW interim world champion. Period. End of story. Simple as that. And as I said before, it should have been Kingston and Moxley to close out Dynamite. Even though Kyle O'Reilly and Moxley tore the house down tonight, still, sometimes we don't need 4.5-star matches. Sometimes we want our emotions played on the strings. You know, feeling good because a match is awesome is great. But when you have one of your most beloved wrestlers, underdog, fighting one of his closest friends, just putting it all out there, and then when it's done, you hug in the middle of the ring. Come on. That's not difficult. You know, you don't need too many brain cells to figure that one out, but we didn't get that. So they did casino. Here's another thing. All right. If you take anything away from tonight's show, I got to throw this out there. And believe me when I tell you, I am not shitting on AEW tonight. I'm expressing what should have been done better. Tonight was a fun episode, but there's obvious things that should have been done better. And I'm going to throw one at you right now. And please, I beg you, in the comment section, if you disagree with me, you have a logical answer to this, post it. And if someone gives me a real logical answer, maybe I'll even surprise someone with a prize. Or maybe I won't. We had a joker in the Casino Battle Royal tonight. A joker. All right. So they did the Casino Battle Royal rules. They had five wrestlers come out. Now, they didn't do clubs, diamonds, hearts, and spades, but they had five wrestlers come out. And then you had five more wrestlers. And you had five more, and you had five more. And then you had a joker, which was the 21st wrestler. All right. The Joker ended up being Andrade. Here's my question to all of you out there. AEW never revealed the participants in the Battle Royal. Can you explain to me why Andrade was the Joker? Explain the logic to me. Why couldn't it have been John Silver, Darby Allin? Tell me what makes Andrade different. Please, somebody please explain to me why it makes sense that Andrade was the Joker. I'm not kidding. Now, maybe if I was stoned, whatever, I smoked whatever they had last week when they wrote that press release up, maybe I'll make logic out of it. Dude, that makes total sense, dude. Yeah, Andrade. Please, someone. I'm begging someone to tell me why Andrade being a Joker makes sense. Why? What was the purpose of having a Joker? It's a joke. So the Battle Royal, I took as good of notes as I possibly can. And we want to obviously keep tonight's show around 75 minutes, so we're not going to spend a whole ton of time here. But I'll give you the overview. So the opening participants in this match was Darby Allin, Daniel Garcia, Tony Nese, Lance Archer, and Eddie Kingston. Tony Nese early on is taunting Lance Archer, so Lance Archer chokeslams Tony Nese. We then had Darby Allin hitting Lance Archer with a skateboard, knocks Lance Archer outside the ring, and then does another tope suicida that you kind of like, I hope he doesn't get injured. This time he didn't get injured, but again, it was very, very reckless. Darby Allin and Eddie Kingston go at it, and the fucking building at the top of their lungs are chanting, Eddie, Eddie. And you realize immediately, if Eddie Kingston does not win this, whoever else wins it is a letdown, period. You got loud Eddie Kingston chants. You have Darby Allin chants as well, but Eddie Kingston was the clear, huge fan favorite tonight, wasn't even close. Next five that come in are Ricky Starks, Jake Hager, Ray Phoenix, Swerve Strickland, and Keith Lee. Swerve Strickland was very, very interesting in this match. If you were undecided which person, Keith Lee and Swerve Strickland, was more over with the fans, you got your answer tonight. Early on, we have Keith Lee. He eliminates Tony Nese. Tony Nese, they had very few eliminations early on. Tony Nese gets eliminated by Keith Lee. We then had Lance Archer and Keith Lee square off a little bit. Kind of reminiscent, Brock Lesnar and Keith Lee from the Royal Rumble that time. It was fun. It was fun. Keith Lee ultimately dumps out Lance Archer. So right now we only have two eliminations. So now the next five that come in are John Silver, Takeshita, Max Caster, and the Ass Boys. And yes, there's the argument that whatever suit that was, probably no one of those five really should have been in this match. You can make the argument for Takeshita, but the other guys, I didn't think. Now, Max Caster did his rap as usual. I don't know how you feel about this line. Is it a great line or is it fucked up? Because during Max Caster's rap, I caught on to it, and he said the two guns that shouldn't be banned are the Ass Boys. Now, you see about the news and the school shooting and the gun, you know, reform that they're trying to do, and he says that two guns that should not be banned are the Ass Boys. So I would think that might get a little bit of buzz online. For me, I don't think it's that big of a deal, but I think a lot of people, now you know there's going to be people that found it very, very offensive and aren't going to dare say a fucking word because they want to be part of the cool kids club. You see it online. So, you know, it is what it is. But anyway, they all brawl. Nobody gets eliminated. Next five that come in, your final five before the Joker, it is Powerhouse Hobbs, Bobby Fish, Kyle O'Reilly, Dante Martin, and Wheeler Yuta. So Ray Phoenix ultimately nails Max Caster in the head, eliminates him almost immediately. Then we had an awful spot. As far as inside the ring, there was really no bad spots tonight except for one. You go back and you watch it, you'll see what I'm talking about. We had Ray Phoenix hit a double cutter to the Ass Boys. Okay, no problems. Go just watch the Ass Boys. And honestly, as much as I find them entertaining right now, and they are going to be future stars, you could see it being developed, no excuse for this. They get hit with a double cutter, and they're right in the middle of the ring, and they both, like, brisk backwards to set themselves up against the ropes and put themselves in position so Keith Lee could clothesline them both off over the top rope. It was one of the worst choreographed spots that I've seen on a hard camera in recent memory. You go back and you watch it, it was pathetic. Absolutely pathetic. Go see it, and you'll see what I'm talking about. So soon as Keith Lee eliminates the Ass Boys, Swerve Strickland eliminates Keith Lee, gets booed out of the building. Keith Lee, you know, is a little bit upset, but hey, Swerve Strickland, every man for himself. So Swerve is still in there. Joker comes out, and it's Andrade. Again, I still don't understand why he was the Joker, but anyway, he's in the match, and now we continue. John Silver, Daniel Garcia, Eddie Kingston, Jake Hager, all eliminated in a matter of 30 seconds. Eddie Kingston eliminates Daniel Garcia, and then, you know, you look at it. For some reason, Eddie Kingston is just standing outside the apron looking at Daniel Garcia laid out on the outside. So what happens? Jake Hager just goes up to him and knocks him off. And yet Eddie Kingston is irate after. I want Hager on Rampage. I want Hager on Rampage. Storyline, you should be mad at yourself for fucking standing there like a goof for 10 seconds. So again, storyline, that's all I'm saying. So Powerhouse Hobbs and Ricky Starks eliminate Takeshita. Dante Martin goes to execute a high-flying move on Ricky Starks, but Hobbs tosses Dante Martin over the top rope for an elimination. Then we get Ricky Starks and Rey Fénix going at it a little bit. Rey Fénix, with a kick to Starks' head, eliminates Ricky Starks. So now we're down to Swerve Strickland, Rey Fénix, Darby Allin, Andrade, Powerhouse Hobbs, Bobby Fish, Kyle O'Reilly, and Yuta Michinoku. Darby Allin eliminates Bobby Fish. Darby Allin runs to the corner to hit some type of a move, and Swerve Strickland eliminates him. So Swerve Strickland, once again, three top baby faces, three eliminations, booed out of the building. Swerve Strickland is taking it in. He loves it. And then Andrade eliminates Swerve Strickland to lots of cheers. Fans loved Andrade eliminating Swerve Strickland. So are they going to split up Swerve Strickland and Keith Lee? Would not be surprised. Does it feel like Swerve Strickland and Keith Lee suddenly are not in line for a tag team title run anytime soon? Seems not. We've been talking the last 2 weeks that AEW is setting up the Young Bucks to regain gold. So we'll get to the Young Bucks in a few moments. So now we're down to Rey Fénix, Andrade, Hobbs, Yuta, and Kyle O'Reilly. Powerhouse Hobbs tries to dump Rey Fénix over the top rope. He's struggling, and here comes Yuta Michinoku. He eliminates Powerhouse Hobbs. Rey Fénix, I don't know what the hell he was doing. He goes to the top rope and then jumps off, and he's spinning like a top. Andrade just kicks him in the head, gives him a low blow, throws him over the top rope. Rey Fénix is eliminated. So now we're down to Kyle O'Reilly, Wheeler Yuta, and Andrade. Andrade runs at Wheeler Yuta towards the middle rope, and he is quickly dumped over the top rope. Kyle O'Reilly and Yuta go at it for a little bit, but in the end, Kyle O'Reilly eliminates Wheeler Yuta. So Kyle O'Reilly goes to the main event tonight. And that winner of that match goes to Forbidden Door. Moxley cuts a promo in the back. Seems like it was maybe pre-recorded before tonight. I don't know. It's been a weird year. He said back in January he was going to grab wrestling by the balls. He said Forbidden Door belongs to him. The interim championship belongs to him. And on June 26th, it's going to be 3 years in the making. Which, again, maybe I missed something, but Moxley's been champion, so I don't know what that actually meant. I don't know. Maybe he hasn't been in Japan in 3 years. I haven't checked the dates, but that seems wrong. Pac defeats Buddy Matthews in an outstanding match. Look, when we talked about Double or Nothing, I said the two stars of that match was Pac and Buddy Matthews. What I hate about this match is just when you think the House of Black, now with Julie Hart, maybe gets a little momentum, goes on a little bit of a winning streak. Remember when we did predictions, I said House of Black got to get a win on that show? Now you have a member of the House of Black tonight lose. And I tell you, I don't know if any of you felt this, but after Buddy Matthews lost, and he's on the rampway, House of Black come down to the rampway, and they're tending to Buddy Matthews, and they're looking, at PAC, Phoenix, and Penta. And I don't know why. Maybe this is because of what happened on Monday's Raw, but I thought the House of Black were going to destroy Buddy Matthews. You know, we've said on more than one occasion, Buddy Matthews seems like a little odd in the House of Black because he's got no tattoos, very clean cut. You know, when they did the face paint on the pay-per-view, it looked great. We've said that before, that they should all wear face paint, kind of make them all seem a little similar. But, excuse me, Benjamin. Her name is Julia Hart. I say Julie. It's Julia Hart. Julia Hart. Anyway, Julie Hart comes down the rampway with the House of Black. They tend to Buddy Matthews, and that's it. We go to the back. Eddie Kingston wants a match against Jake Hager at Rampage. We find out later he gets it. FTR in the ring with Trent, as we said earlier. You know, FTR is cutting a promo, almost leading that, hey, they would love to wrestle tonight on Dynamite. Will Ospreay comes out, and next thing you know, you got Aussie Open and Aaron Hanare from the United Empire. They attack all the people in the ring, and this leads to a six-man match for Friday. Now, Rampage is being taped tonight, so all the people that you saw on Dynamite tonight, they will be in action, so those fans are being treated to some, probably some really good matches right now. I'm still waiting for, you know, the Great Okan. What happened? It's the Great Okan, Charlie Brown. There you go. William Regal is seen in the back with the Undisputed Elite, and William Regal says that he will be on commentary while Kyle O'Reilly gets his head cracked in, but little sign of respect, handshake. Kyle O'Reilly talks about how he thinks about his wife and his friends when he's in the ring. And he came to AEW to fight the best and to fight for the AEW world title, and he's going to get that opportunity. Hangman Page beating David Finlay with Adam Cole on commentary. It was a good match. David Finlay, out of everybody that has showed up in recent weeks, kind of like David Finlay, the most out of all of them. It was a good match. Crowd was into it. The problem is, you know, it was a fun advertised match, but Hangman Page should have been in that battle royal. Just my opinion. And he cut a promo afterwards that was kind of like, oh, okay, I wasn't in the battle royal and I'm not going to get a title match anytime soon, but there is more than one world title and he wants Okada's IWGP championship. Adam Cole then gets on the mic and tells Hangman Page, you lost at Double or Nothing. You're not entitled to that shot. If anybody's entitled to that shot, it should be me. So now we're wondering, is it going to be Adam Cole versus Hangman Page versus Okada at Forbidden Door? That could very well happen. And don't forget, aren't we getting Okada versus Jay White at Dominion? So Okada's got to get past Jay White before Okada could work Forbidden Door and defend the IWGP Championship. So we get the Wardlow interview that we talked about earlier. You know, it is what it is. We'll see what happens next week. The Christian heel turn is almost, you know, they're planting some more seeds. Tonight, the Young Bucks, and we've talked about this, like I said, in the past, that AEW is setting them up for another run at gold. And Young Bucks tonight say they want their gold. Hardy show up, they want gold. Jurassic Express shows up, and Christian says, hey, I got an idea. Why don't we have a match that put us on the map? And he's looking at the Hardys. So he proposes next week on Dynamite for the AEW Tag Team Championships, it's going to be Jurassic Express defending the titles against the Hardys and the Young Bucks in a three-way ladder match. They agree. And you got to look at Jungle Boy's reaction to all this. Jungle Boy's like, how's this? So Jungle Boy is not too thrilled about what Christian did. So now it makes you think, are Jurassic Express going to lose those tag titles next week. Do you think AEW gives the Hardys one tag team title run? I mean, I don't know, because I'm still a little concerned about Jeff Hardy. I mean, yeah, ladder match, you know, it's in the middle of the ring. Hopefully Jeff doesn't do any crazy shit. But, you know, I don't know about the Hardys having a tag team title run. I feel like if anybody's going to win this match, it might be the Young Bucks, and then we'll probably have a falling out with Jungle Boy, Luchasaurus, and Christian. So, all right, Thunder Rosa beating Marina Shafir. The IWC probably gets credit for this one, not the internet wrestling community, but the internet whining community. They've been whining for the last 7 days about Thunder Rosa putting all this bullshit fake news that Thunder Rosa went home because, you know, she's upset, she's not being utilized, blah, 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 blah. Those are just fans, and I don't blame fans for being frustrated. We've talked about it. We've talked about it a month ago when she had a total of, what, 5 minutes TV time in 5 weeks? Wasn't it like 5 minutes or 6 minutes of TV time? So, yeah, we've talked about this for a while. But over the last week, it caught on with everybody else. So you whine, and you get enough people whining on social media, Tony Khan tries to do something about it. Remember the Jay Lethal stuff? The minute people started really complaining about Jay Lethal, he magically appeared. So they did that with Thunder Rosa. Thunder Rosa issues an open challenge. Marina Shafir accepts it. Match was pretty good. You know, Acme Insta-feud. Thunder Rosa gets the win after the match is over. Marina Shafir attacks Thunder Rosa. And Tony Storm makes the save. And I don't know why Thunder Rosa got so pissed off, but Thunder Rosa picks up the belt and hands it to, Tony Storm picks up the belt, hands it to Thunder Rosa, and she's like, give me that. That's mine. We get a backstage promo from the baddies and Stokely, and he announces that Red Velvet is going to be taking on Kristen Highlander, who you know as Chris Statlander. And after Red Velvet beats her on Friday, she's going to make Chris Statlander beg like she was Keith Sweat. You got to go back a ways to understand that one, but I get why you said that. So on Rampage Friday, we're getting Chris Statlander versus Red Velvet. We're getting Aussie Open and Will Ospreay versus FTR and Trent. We're getting an appearance by Hook and Danhausen. Jay Lethal and Satnam Singh will be in action. Expect the head vice. Expect it. Jake Hager versus Eddie Kingston. Next week, Road Rager is happening. It's going to be a hair versus hair match. Chris Jericho versus Ortiz. The Hardys versus the Young Bucks versus Jurassic Express in a ladder match for the AEW tag titles. Wardlow will be facing 20 security guards, and we will have Ethan, Page, and Miro in a tournament match for the All-Atlantic Championship. Main event, we already talked about it. Jon Moxley beats Kyle O'Reilly. Very, very stiff match. Crowd loved it. I loved it. Wasn't my choice to face Moxley in that main event, but Kyle O'Reilly shows why he is one of the more elite performers, no pun intended. They put on a battle. They got about 12, 13 minutes, I believe, in the match, so they got plenty of time. And Tony Schiavone was teasing that if they go overtime, they're going to stay with it. Now, they didn't have to go overtime, but the reason why they do that is because they want people glued, you know, to stay in it, you know, don't change the channel. William Regal on commentary, William Regal showing a lot of respect for Kyle O'Reilly. William Regal, whenever he's on commentary, will always show respect for the opponents of the Blackpool Combat Club, but then he puts over his guys 10 times more. But phenomenal match. These two guys were exhausted towards the end. But sure enough, we get Moxley with a cutter. He hits the paradigm shift, and he beats Kyle O'Reilly. So it will be Moxley going to Forbidden Door, and we'll be facing either Tanahashi or Goto at Forbidden Door. I mean, it's all pretty much guaranteed that you know, Moxley's going to be your next champion. And this probably will set up Moxley versus Punk down the line for the unified championship. So, by the way, you know, no appearance by Roosh tonight. And Roosh did an interview with Lucha Libre online, and he revealed that he is not All Elite. He has not signed any type of a deal with AEW, that he is being paid on a per appearance basis. So Roosh right now has the Peter Avalon deal. I mean, they're negotiating, but he's being paid by appearance right now. So let's move quickly to NXT. I'm just going to give you a quick rundown. You know, again, nothing against NXT, but it is still developmental. However, you know, props to them for the rating that they pulled from yesterday. And once again, we talked about it Monday, and it happened again today towards NXT. A lot of disrespect towards anything that WWE owns as far as ratings go. I'll explain why in a minute. NXT results from yesterday, Josh Briggs over Von Wagner. We had Nathan Frazier beating Santos Escobar. During this match, we had Tony D'Angelo and the family at ringside. Tony D'Angelo, you could see where this is going. And we talked about it the night of the pay-per-view, that they're not going to get along. And soon enough, Tony D'Angelo is going to be like, look, you're fired. You know, they just screw up too much, Legado. And what happens, Tony D'Angelo, it's funny because Legado's doing dives, and Tony D'Angelo's like, nobody wants to see that shit. Don't do that again. And then he gives a cane. He gives a cane to use as a weapon. And Santos Escobar is like, I don't need no cane. He throws it out of the ring, and Santos Escobar loses. Stunats. Roxanne Perez beats Tiffany Stratton to win the NXT Women's Breakout Tournament. I got to be honest with you, man. You go back and you look at that match, Roxanne carried that entire match, but I got to give a little props to Tiffany Stratton. She still has a long way to go, but Roxanne Perez brought out Tiffany Stratton's probably best match yet of her entire wrestling career. A lot of people seem to forget with some of these wrestlers, they have no background in wrestling. Tiffany Stratton, I was very impressed with her performance yesterday. She had no business winning the tournament. She shouldn't have even been in the tournament. But you know what? She backed it up, and I liked it. So we were paying very close attention. Yes, I know it's going to sound pervy, but the way the camera angles were, we thought we were getting a slip during the match, and we were pointing out, like, and anybody who's live right now that was there last night, you remember it. I'm yelling out, I'm like, Tiffany, lift that outfit up, and then you see Tiffany Stratton go like this. And we're like, ah! By the way, you like the shirt? You're like, yeah, it arrived. I've been waiting for this shirt for a couple of months. The billion-dollar asshole. Shut up! Billion-dollar asshole! The billion-dollar asshole. Wait a minute. We can fix that. Yeah, do you like it without the logo? I'm just curious. You know, we don't always have to have a logo. We don't need no logos. Logos. L-O-G-O-Z. Logos del Fantasma. Pretty Deadly over Andre Chase and Bodie Hayward, which was more of a handicap match. Alba Fire over Tatum Paxley. And Apollo Crews made his return to NXT, and he teamed up in the main event with Solo Sikoa to defeat Carmelo Hayes and Grayson Waller. Now, earlier on in the night, we had Bron Breakker come out, and he's kind of putting over Joe Gacy, but in the end, he didn't fall for Joe Gacy's antics, and he's issuing a little bit of a challenge, open challenge. And I thought either Grayson Waller comes out or maybe Von Wagner comes out. Instead, we get the returning Apollo Crews. Apollo Crews shows up. If you paid attention to my shows the last couple of weeks, We are very concerned about the future of Commander Aziz. He did not show up with Commander Aziz. He did not show up with the spear. He did not show up with his outfit. And he did not show up with his real accent. What was it, Jamaican? Is it Jamaican accent? You remember when he changed his gimmick? This is my real Jamaican accent. This is how I really talk in real life. He pulled the Kofi Kingston yesterday. I mean, it's funny when you start your career with the accent, like Lana, and then you suddenly, you have no accent, like Maurice. You have no accent, even though Maurice, I think, has a little accent no matter what. Nigerian, thank you very much, Benjamin. Got my countries wrong. Nigerian. But when he came out and he said, this is how I really talk, I can't do it. I have to hear it first. But now you realize the real accent was not the real accent. He came out there, no Nigerian accent, and he issues the challenge to Braun Breaker. And later on in the night, he has the match with Solo Sikoa. I love this. I love this. And the reason why I love this is, you know, we've been talking about it for over 2 years, that WWE should have some people show up from the main roster to help the Stars of Tomorrow. 20 years ago, you would have a veteran make an appearance in OVW. You'd make appearances in Heartland, Florida Championship Wrestling. You would have some people help give a rub, little name value, little recognition, amp it up a notch. So last night, this was about Apollo Crews giving that little bit of more cred to Solo Sikoa. Look, Solo Sikoa, I think, is maybe the second most over wrestler in the NXT roster. Everybody is into Solo Sikoa. We know his, you know, bloodline, you know, with the Usos. So Solo Sikoa, you know, is going to be a big star. I mean, it's just a matter of time. But he's not there yet. And to see Apollo Crews teaming up with Solo Sikoa yesterday, you could feel that this was a rub to Solo Sikoa. When Apollo Crews was talking about yesterday, this is the energy he missed. Look, if you really think about that for a minute, that's an insult. Not only on WWE, that's an insult on the WWE universe. See, this is the energy that I was missing. So you don't have that energy from the regular Raw or SmackDown fans? I know it's not meant that way, but it can be interpreted that way. But yesterday, this was about another wrestler who has made it, giving back a little bit. This is not a demotion. AJ Styles showing up at that time was not a demotion. Natalya was not a demotion. You know, the Viking Raiders, a little bit different. Viking Raiders, I'm a little concerned about their future. But yesterday it was about not only giving a little rub to Solo Sikoa, Apollo Crews worked great with Carmelo Hayes. Apollo Crews worked great with Grayson Waller yesterday. So he just gave a little bit extra. Because one thing you have to admit, look, this is not a AEW versus WWE war here. But one thing you have to admit is that as bland as WWE can be at times, more times than we would like, as organized, sometimes too organized, WWE is, you rarely see your more established stars botching. You rarely ever see, do you ever see Apollo Crews botching? My point is, when you're in NXT and you're still in developmental, you're going to have bumps in the road. You're going to miss spots. I watched Josh Briggs versus Von Wagner yesterday. And if you go back and you watch that match and look closely at Josh Briggs' punches at Von Wagner, it's cringe. He's just hitting air and it looked awful. It looked awful. Now, you give him a little slack because he's still very young in his career. So he's not ready for big time. But when you have somebody like Apollo Crews show up, this is a guy that's polished. This is a guy that has it all together. So now it forces Solo Sikoa, Grayson Waller, and Carmelo Hayes to up their game a little bit. And that's what's so awesome about this. And in the near future, we're going to see Apollo Crews take on Bron Breakker. And that is going to be a very interesting match because Bron Breakker's style is nothing like Apollo Crews. That's going to be a huge test for Bron Breakker. And that's one of the traits that you have to have to be on the main roster. Not only are you supposed to go toe-to-toe and go well against similar styles, but you also have to really perform against wrestlers who have a totally different style. You look at Roman Reigns, you don't picture him, you know, having great matches with high flyers, but somehow it works, you know, because they know how to adapt. So this is going to be a big test for Bron Breakker. But I am absolutely looking forward to this. I really am. This is going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a lot of fun. I am really happy to see Apollo Crews in NXT. How long he stays there, I don't know. But again, Commander Aziz, as we said Monday, that, you know, I don't ever like to predict releases. But you look at Commander Aziz, I don't think that's someone that WWE fans would, you know, remember that long. I don't think anybody will miss him. And Commander Aziz, with all due respect, I don't expect, you know, Commander Aziz, if he's released, that he's going to be All Elite. If Don West was still part of Impact, I don't think we would have heard him say, Aziz, look, Aziz in the Impact Zone. I don't think we're going to hear that either. Like, I don't see where this guy goes outside of here. I mean, I think he would have to totally revamp himself big time. So, by the way, congratulations to Sammy Guevara and Ty Conti. Did they even mention it today? Friends, I don't ever use that term. Friends, did they even mention it on Dynamite? I don't recall it. Maybe I was taking a piss break during it. But if you're not aware, Sammy Guevara proposed to Ty Conti and she said yes. And TMZ picked up on a story. All right, Rob S. says, no, they did not mention it. I'm very, very surprised they did not mention it. Maybe a little disrespect towards Sammy Guevara and Ty Conti. So they proposed, look, man, I know a lot of people for some reason are angry because he got engaged last year to his ex-girlfriend, ex-fiance, Pam. But, you know, come on. I mean, let's be honest. You know, you definitely know someone who has dated someone and within 6 months got engaged. I know plenty of people. Me, it's different. Me, I'm going to be dating my fiance 10 years in October. It's going to be 10 years. But for some others, you know, you just click and fall in love and that's that. I don't think this is a rebound relationship. And again, I don't know why people are so angry. You know, why would you want Sammy Guevara to remain in a relationship with a woman where they drifted apart? You know, you marry the person that you feel is your soulmate that you love. You don't marry the person or you don't break up with someone. You don't stay with someone simply because everybody else thinks it's the right thing to do. So I say congratulations to them. They get under everybody's skin. I still take a lot of pride when I said 6 weeks before they officially turned heel. I think I was still doing Wednesday shows when I said it. And I remember some of you that were like, DT, what are you talking about? They're not heels. What are you talking about? I said, you don't see it. The way they keep kissing and Ty wearing like butt shorts and all that. You don't know. This was being planned for a long time, but I'm happy for them because in real life, you know, they make a good couple. They might be meant for each other and who knows? I'm not trying to say this to be a jerk, but if they end up being massive assholes, then maybe they're the perfect couple for each other. If they're total fuck ups in real life, or if they're players, you know, then maybe they're perfect for each other. So I say congratulations to them. And I mean that sincerely. So I want to give a shout out Thank you very much. I just noticed this now, Steve Joseph. Welcome back to Wednesday nights. I thank you very much for that, my friend. I'm happy to be back on Wednesdays. Now, let me just tell everybody the format going forward, because we've been doing a Thursday show. And the Thursday show has covered AEW NXT. We've done Q&A with our channel members getting VIP. We're going to still do that, but we're going to do it on Wednesdays going forward. So basically, Wednesday Night Dynamite is pretty much the same format. So, you know, when we get a bigger channel member family, then we'll do individual shows at a Q&A. But the fact is, I mean, our channel member family is this big. And if we do Q&A shows weekly, you know, specifically for them, you're going to get the same 10 people asking questions every week. So when it gets bigger, then we can do that. But still, our existing channel members always get VIP status asking questions. So Thursdays will now be Wednesdays, which means Thursday is my day off. A lot of you are asking me still about a Friday night show. I'm going to see. Right now, I have something I got to take care of health-wise. I know a lot of you know what it is. I didn't get my surgery date yet. When I get my surgery date, I only expect to be out of action for 2 days. And honestly, I probably could do a show the next day, but supposedly sitting up is going to be a little painful. So, all right. Let's see. Oh, very quickly, this was the Rampage, NXT watch party from yesterday. And yesterday, during that watch party, we announced that we were going to give away to one lucky winner their choice of either this Becky Lynch signed photo from WrestleMania or this Becky Lynch signed photo. And they also get this Bianca Belair autographed photo from WrestleMania. And what we started doing yesterday that's a little different is everybody who shows up gets an entry on the wheel. But as you notice, there are three people who have two entries on the wheel. When you go on the stage and you actually talk, whether it's video, audio, or both, you get an extra entry. So Rams fan, Katie, and SoFly, they get two entries. So I'm going to spin the wheel live right now. Whoever it lands on will get their choice of whichever Becky Lynch photo they want, and they will get the Bianca Belair photo. So good luck. We'll see who wins. There we go. This is so much easier than having a giant wheel behind me. And it's a little more suspenseful. Will the double voting? Oh, see, it worked. KD with the extra vote. KD, you are a winner. Wow, that's cool because I didn't ship out your Bron Breakker photo yet. So, KD, I got your address, so you don't have to send it to me. So I will get your three photos out tomorrow. So congrats. Friday night, we are doing a Rampage watch party. We are doing a SmackDown watch party. So we will come up with some pretty cool prizes. So I'll let everybody know on social media. Okay. A couple other things to get into. By the way, I didn't even say it. The NXT rating. I am so awful. Last week they did 534,000. This week they jumped all the way up to 657,000. That is a tremendous number for NXT. They went up 23%. Raw went up 25%. Yesterday, there was NHL playoffs on TV. Monday, there was playoffs on TV. And wasn't there like some college World Series or something? So that just goes to show you that this narrative that playoff sports hurts the ratings. Raw went up 25%. Yes, coming off of Hell in a Cell. NXT, yes, coming off of In Your House. But nothing on NXT was really enticing. And even Roxanne Perez versus Tiffany Stratton, a lot of people were like, oh, that match is going to suck. Not because of Roxanne, with all due respect. You know, you think people, yes, oh, I got to see Josh Briggs and Von Wagner. There was nothing advertised that people should have drove. But you go on the websites today, oh, no, it was pretty much a normal episode, they fucking went up 23%. And they get no respect whatsoever. So, look, I expect next week's rating probably to drop back down. But still, 657, that is a great number for NXT. Great number for NXT. We have some events coming up that are not named WWE and AEW. This weekend, we actually have NWA Always Ready. Now, if you're not aware, Matt Cardona tore his bicep, and I'm going to show you a picture from GCW this weekend. This picture is priceless. If you all got a kick out of those Hell in a Cell Judgment Day posters that we showed, this is a photo from GCW. I heard that there's a lot of GCW fans that are like this. Probably a podcaster, for what I know. But I just loved the look on Matt Cardona's face. Chelsea Green is like, what the fuck am I looking at? And I'm sorry, man. I mean, I used to have a tummy like that, but you would never see me lifting my shirt like that. But unfortunately, Matt Cardona does have a torn bicep. He's got to get surgery, and he's going to be out of action 4 to 5 months. But he is fighting this weekend at NWA. They're Always Ready pay-per-view. So there's some matches on this card. I think some of you would be surprised and had no idea were on this card. So it might be worth checking out. We have Sam Shaw, the former Dexter Lumis. He's going to be taking on Brian Myers, and I expect Sam Shaw to get the win. Taya Valkyrie will be taking on Natalia Markova with Taryn Terrell in her corner, and I'm going with Taya Valkyrie to get the win on that one. Jay Bradley and Ligursky, Wrecking Ball Ligursky, versus Ricky and Kerry Morton versus Al Kazana and a wrestler to be announced. I'm going to go with the Mortons to get the win there. Aaron Stevens versus Trevor Murdoch. Going with Trevor Murdoch. Tyrus will be defending the NWA TV Championship against Matthew Mims. I'm going with Tyrus to retain. A lot of matches on this card. Jax Dane will be defending the NWA National Championship against Chris Adonis. I want Chris Adonis to get the win. I want Chris Adonis to get that championship. Bestia 666 and Mecha Wolf 450 versus the Commonwealth Connection of Doug Williams and Harry Smith. Doug Williams and Harry Smith will try to win the NWA Tag Team Championships. I think they get it. I think we will see a title change. The Hex of Allison Kay and Marty Bell defending the Women's Tag Team Championships against Ella Envy and Kenzie Page. I'm going with Allison Kay and Marty Bell to retain. Camille defending the NWA Women's Championship against Kylan King. I'm going with Camille to retain. Homicide defending the NWA World Junior Heavyweight Championship against PJ Hawks. I'm going with Homicide to retain. And the main event, Matt Cardona, torn bicep and all, will be defending the NWA World Heavyweight Championship. It's either going to be a steel cage match or a death match. And either way, I expect Nick Aldis to regain that title. I always said after he dropped the belt, it felt like the belt has never been the same. I mean, I know Nick Aldis brings a lot of prestige and class with that title, but I also have to give props to Matt Cardona. Never in a million years ever expect him to adapt and transition and change his persona and hold some of the titles he's held. It's been pretty surprising. But I'm going with Nick Aldis. And if Matt Cardona retains, I still expect someone to close out Always Ready as the champion. I don't expect Matt Cardona to be champion by the end of the night. So Slammiversary is taking place next week. And next week is AAA's Triple Mania event. The Triple Mania event is pretty interesting. one of the matches for Triple Mania. There you go. We have Matt and Jeff Hardy versus Dragon Lee and Dralistico. We have Ruleta de la Muerte semifinal of Villano number 4 versus Psycho Clown. The loser advances to the finals. We have Ruleta de la Muerte semifinal of Blue Demon Jr. versus Pentagon Jr. The loser advances to the final. Why? That is, I never liked that. I just thought about that. I hate that idea. You always want someone to win. AAA World Championship title, Laredo Kid races versus Ray Phoenix. I almost said racist Phoenix. Versus Ray Phoenix versus Hijo del Vikingo. And the Latin American Championship, Black Taurus versus Bandido. We have an elimination cage match of Cheek Tormenta versus Sexy Star number 2 versus Reina Dorada versus Lady Shanai versus La Hedra. See, I speak Mexican. See, back in the day, I did not speak Japan. And from doing the history shows, I picked up on it. I hope I'm not butchering anybody's names. Anyway, La Hedra versus Lady Maravilla versus Flammer and another participant. And then we have the final elimination cage competitors. They will face off in a mask versus mask match. So that looks like a pretty damn good card. That is going to be taking place June 18th at Caliente Stadium. Impact Wrestling. Oh, I see Impact spend so much time with this banner. What a good job, Impact. You got NWA's banner, which is nice. It probably would take one of us about 15 minutes to make. You got the AAA banner, which probably take us about 15 minutes, but still really nice. Look at this creative banner with all due respect. They're going to battle June 19th, Nashville, Tennessee at the Fairgrounds. Impact champion Josh Alexander defends against Eric Young. The tag champs, the Briscoes, who can't get more than 105,000 viewers with all due respect, taking on the Good Brothers. That just goes to show you, it's more about the promotion than the wrestlers. Because if you follow social media, you think the Briscoes are the holier-than-thou indie darlings, the biggest, hottest free agents in the history of pro wrestling. And you could watch them on a weekly basis on Impact Wrestling and nobody extra tunes in. They will be defending the tag titles against the Good Brothers. Ultimate X match. You have the X Division champ Ace Austin versus Kenny King versus Speedball Mike Bailey versus Trey Miguel versus, to be announced, Queen of the Mountain, Tasha Steeles versus Mia Yim versus Jordynne Grace versus Deonna Purrazzo versus Taya Valkyrie. That's a solid match. Honor No More versus Kazarian versus the Motor City Machine Guns and two Impact competitors, past or present, to be announced. Now, you tease it like that, you got to bring somebody from your past. You have to bring somebody in from your past. But that is Slammiversary coming up. So that is it for your news for tonight. We are in an hour and 18 minutes. So let's go 10 minutes with questions. You know, we do questions on every show. I mean, obviously Sundays, the whole show is questions. So we get much more detail there. But tonight, let's keep it like AEW, NXT, New Japan, Impact. You know, let's save WWE for another night, because we don't talk about Raw or SmackDown on Wednesday Night Dynamite. I try to keep every show a little different. So if you have a question, something that doesn't require a lot of brain cells, you know, just write the word question before your question so it stands out. And if we get those questions quick, I will answer as many as I can in 10 minutes. So, and I thank you all for stopping by. I know a majority of people who don't frequent social media have no idea that I'm even back on Wednesday. So this will take a couple of weeks for people to get used to it. But I thank everybody who tuned in tonight. And yeah, definitely Pro Wrestling TV, Pro Wrestling TV. You know, you don't have any idea how much that meant to me freaking awesome, man. So pumped. I did not hear about Johnny Rods getting heart surgery. I know he is not NXT AEW, but he is one of my fondest favorites. The conversations I had with him in the past, I adore. I am definitely going to reach out to Johnny Rods. Thank you for letting me know about that. I did not know. I am definitely going to send him some well wishes. Nothing new about Tessa Blanchard. There is a huge falling out with Women of Wrestling. Sting, I think he'll be back soon. I mean, Sting, at his age, he is a novelty. He's a special attraction. Believe it or not, the dives don't seem to be, what gets them most concerned, because the wrestlers protect him and they catch him. I mean, the wrestlers are willing to sacrifice their bodies, to make sure he's not injured on a fall. It's just when you're lateral and you're moving around inside the ring, that's where he's at the biggest risk. So he'll be back. He'll be back. Who will win the Forbidden Tournament? If you're talking about the interim championship, it has to be Moxley. I mean, I would have loved a swerve if MJF would have somehow appeared. I thought it would have been awesome if MJF was under the mask tonight. He could have been Serpentico or somebody else. Hell, if you look at his physique, he probably could have put on Ten's mask and put a couple of Roman numerals on his chest. I think some people, I mean, look, hardcore AEW fans would have been like, that's not Ten. But I think for the casual fan, I think, they could have possibly bought it, especially if he would have been laid out early in the match and he's just staying on the floor underneath the ring. Then the very end, he shows up and throws somebody over the top rope. You don't give enough visibility, but they didn't go that route. They're trying to play off right now that he, because of what he did to Tony Khan, calling him what he did, they're trying to play off that everybody is so angry. They removed him from intros. He's not mentioned. They won't even mention the letters. Guys, this is a storyline. MJF, we know what his character is, and I hate repeating myself, but all I got to say is one very quick thing. We know his character. We know how vulgar he gets. We know how nasty he gets. We know what he is going to say. And if they were concerned that MJF was going to possibly go into business for himself or say something derogatory, they would have had a censor alert, a time delay. All networks do that for the most part. They'll have a 3-second delay, a 7-second delay, a 10-second delay. Nobody says, how did they have a 0-second delay? Why didn't they have a delay? I mean, somebody who's brain dead that works for that network has said, we got to put a delay. Look, that's the telltale sign. This is 100% storyline. So they're playing off that since Tony Khan is not an on-air person. And notice, Tony Khan is not even announcing that he is suspended for his actions. How does that make Tony Khan look? I don't want to talk about it. Look, he called you a fucking mark on TV. What do you have to say to your audience? I don't want to talk about it. Does that really make sense? It doesn't make sense. It's a storyline. It's a storyline. And a lot of reporters are not reporting the news properly because they think they're helping the storyline. Noah, Mark is asking, why would Tony Khan put the Hardys in another ladder match? Because the Hardys asked to be in a ladder match. It does not feel like Tony Khan ever tells the veterans, look, I don't think it's a good idea. They want to be in the match, they're going to be in the match. That's just the way it is. So they want to be in the match, that's why they're in the match. Believe it or not, Run, I like Excalibur on commentary. I don't like how he jumps the gun when wrestlers show up that we've never seen before. I mean, literally, with earlier, oh, that's Ozzy Open. Like, they didn't even, you just saw their shadow. And he's throwing it out there he's just a little too quick with some of, remember when Malakai Black showed up? Didn't he call him Malakai Black? I think before we even knew the name was Malakai Black. There's a couple of things about him that, is definitely need improvement, but I like Excalibur. I actually tolerate him. He doesn't annoy me. I know for Cornette and others, they hate the guy. I think he's all right. I really can't complain about him. So, we didn't do a Manscaped ad yet because I don't know if they even picked up for this week, you know. So I'll probably plug it over the weekend. You know, remember, they asked to be advertised just on the Don Tony Show. I gave them extra plugs because I wanted to. You know, obviously this is the return to Wednesday and I wanted to focus on as much content for you as possible. So that's the only reason why not. But tonight's episode absolutely is brought to you by Manscaped. And, you know, go to manscaped.com. And if you shop around, you still have time for Father's Day. And even if they were not sponsoring the shows anymore, I would still tell you to do this. The promo code still works. Use the promo code DONTONY, get 20% off. Get something for yourself. Get something for your father, you know, uncle, boss. You know, I know they most of their products are grooming products, but they have body spray, body shampoo, stuff to trim your beard. It's not always about down there. So, you know, if you feel a little bit embarrassed to get your dad, you know, like stuff to groom his penis area, you know, then you get him a couple of boxer shirts. You get him some soap, some spray. The top quality stuff, man, manscaped.com. So there's your plug. There's your plug. All right. Let's bring this home. We got like 2 or 3 minutes left. Why do I think fans would laugh at the idea of Jake Hager would lose to CM Punk in a match? I don't think people really think that too deep into it. CM Punk is untouchable in AEW. You got to understand something. And I'm not saying this to be a jerk. I'm just telling it straight up. Tony Khan is a lifelong wrestling fan. You got to remember Ring of Honor back in the day. You remember some of my old promos? You know, Ring of Honor, cronies, you know, with the chants and everything. I mean, sometimes for a few years, it was, you know, we would criticize a lot of Ring of Honor fans. They would chant just to chant. He's one of those fans growing up. He's hardcore Bullet Club, hardcore New Japan, hardcore pure wrestling this, Ring of Honor that, honor this, honor that. So now you get CM Punk and Bryan Danielson. That is Moses and Jesus Christ. Or use any religion you want. That's royalty in front of him. I mean, so these guys can do no wrong. They are royalty. So when you get that perception, you know, CM Punk, you know, let's be honest, Bryan Danielson, the perception to all of us is Bryan Danielson doesn't mind losing. He's giving back to pro wrestling. He just loves to go out there and do what he does. CM Punk, there is a gigantic ego involved. And CM Punk, it's about status and stature and power. And, you know, Tony Khan is just, this is his dream. His beloved favorites are now working for him. And that's larger than life to him. I'm not saying it to criticize him. I'm just saying you need to think about that when you see how certain things are done. Why the shirt? Because my tits still hang low. I still got a beer gut, a pasta gut. Because I want to wear the shirt. Ring of Honor bots, yeah, we call, isn't that funny? We were calling people bots like 17 years ago, and now that's the thing in thing to say. We were ahead of the game in so many ways, man. Kevin Milwaukee, doesn't it seem like it was just yesterday when Cody went through the flaming table? Now he tore his pec at WWE. Look, I brought it up yesterday on Patreon. You think about how many names are currently not competing. Due to injury, some case suspension. It's kind of mind-boggling. You know, Danielson, Punk, Orton, Edge, Sasha, Naomi, Roman Reigns taking a little break, Cody Rhodes. And there's some wrestlers, look, Scorpio Sky, Bryan Danielson. There's a few others. A lot of people just like that. But guess what? AEW is still doing just fine. WWE is still doing just fine. It shows you there is no doom and gloom. Somebody goes down, they have enough big stars to pick up the slack. Did it feel tonight like CM Punk was truly missing? No. You know, and if they would have gave us that different match for the Dynamite main event, Kingston versus Moxley, people would have said this was an amazing night of wrestling, and CM Punk wasn't even on it. Bryan Danielson didn't even compete. So it goes to show you, you know, that these companies are going to be just fine. All right. We'll talk about WWE stuff later this week. Liv Morgan getting a movie role. Good for her, man. Good for her. Probably be a small role, but good for her. We're not going to get... I have said so much about MJF. I mean, there's nothing to add to it. See, that's the difference between a lot of other places in here. You look at the Stephanie McMahon stuff, and I'm not talking about that tonight, but I'm just proving a point. You know, Stephanie says she's going home to spend some time with her family. She's got to take care of family stuff. People can't leave it at that. So now they got to push this narrative that WWE forced her out because they were not happy and stuff like that. Again, the stock market did not bring that up. Investors did not bring that up. Financial sites did not bring that up. But ProWrestlingSchmuck.com brings it up, and we're supposed to believe it. $1 billion company, no investors, no business world, no stock world brings it up. But we're supposed to believe Sir Oliver Big Dick. And breaking news. But we already exposed the whole MJF thing. And people can't accept the fact that they were played big time. So they try to manipulate the news to try to make it seem like, no, they were actually on the right, you know, track with this. I'm not going to create stuff here just so we could talk about stuff. There is no news. There is no update with MJF. There is no controversy. There ain't nobody at fucking Warner Media or Discovery that said, remove him from all this stuff. Ridiculous. All right. Again, we'll talk about WWE later this week. Let's one or two more questions, AEW, NXT, we will call it. But I'll look into the Disney stuff, though, Garth. I would definitely, that, you know, I will check out. It's a good story. I'll definitely talk about it on Saturday. That is a story that definitely requires a little bit of research. So, what did you all think of the All-Atlantic title? I mean, you know, I think 15 titles is a lot. It seems like suddenly like they're creating titles just so somebody has the visual of a championship. Oh, Adam Cole has been so misused. Now he's got a pink belt. Yeah, and I'm not dissing the Owen Hart belt, but is he going to fucking defend it? You know, he's not going to defend it. And if he does, it's stupid. You don't defend that. You keep it with honor. You put it on your thing. But it's the perception that everybody seems a little more important because I have gold on my shoulder. So, yeah, it's a nice-looking belt. I mean, you look at it. I'm not dissing the look of the belt. It's nice. I just, when they said they were announcing a new title, I thought it was the Trios titles. I really do. But, you know, this is a belt that I think is going to be more international. I think that belt will be defended in other countries. And, you know, I guess that's all right. No idea who Flair's opponent's going to be yet. All right. So we're going to jet out of here because all the questions coming in are all WWE and not AEW NXT. But we will pick up this conversation on Saturday. We could talk all night about WWE stuff, but I don't think, I'll leave you all with this, I don't think Tony Khan does cocaine like a lot of other people like to say. Could he smoke the babanya? Absolutely. I've heard people say that he definitely smokes weed. And I wasn't kidding when I said that last week. This freaking press release that they issued, whoever wrote that was definitely stoned. Because like I said, which looks better, that or this? You're literally, this is the same things being said. Here it's three sentences. Here it's six paragraphs. And then he had to go on social media and defend why John Moxley's the number one contender. This is a guy that's just overanalyzing everything. Dude, do you realize like all the work that's involved to make this olive oil? Dude, do you realize like if the temperature is only 5 degrees warmer, that the olives turn a different color, and instead of olive oil, they got to make grapes instead, and it turns into red wine. Like, you just ramble for a fucking hour. And that's what stone people do. I mean, hey, we'll do an interim title. We'll have four people, a battle royal. The winner faces Moxley later in the night, and the winner goes on to Forbidden Door. And then at Dominion, we'll have two Japan guys battle it out, and the winner at Dominion goes on to Forbidden Door. And then the winner of Moxley versus the Battle Royal takes on the winner at Dominion, and then that's it. It's the new champion. No, dude, we got to bring... Fuck out of here. My head will explode. All right, I'm out of here. If you enjoyed tonight's show, hit that thumbs up. I thank you for joining me again Wednesday nights. I hope you enjoyed tonight Pro Wrestling TV. Pro Wrestling TV. I look, don't forget Blue Wire, obviously. Now, to make it easy, Blue Wire is my audio-only work. Pro Wrestling TV is my video work. So that's the difference. So when you hear me plugging Blue Wire, that is the audio side of things. Pro Wrestling TV is the video side of things. But it is official. If you go to Pro Wrestling TV, you will see yours truly. And I'm telling you, it's weird. It's weird. You know, when Blue Wire approached me and I went on that network, and all I see there is Chris Van Vliet, Sam Roberts, Gallows and Anderson, Roppongi Vice, Rocky Romero, and that's pretty much it. And then JD from New York joined up as well. I'm looking around. I'm like, I'm amongst the best of the best. And then Pro Wrestling TV approaches me a month and a half ago. We'd like the Don Tony Show to be on our video network. And I'm like, okay. And then Mish unfortunately left, but it turned into a positive because then I get an email. Hey, I see you're doing a solo show on Mondays now. Are you keeping it that way? Or are you getting another host? And I said, no, I'm going to keep it solo. Okay, we want your Monday show too. Oh, you're going to be doing a show that's AEW and NXT? Yeah, we'd like that show too. So you know what? Just put all your shows on there. And the deal just went. And when you go on that network, you know, and you see control of narrative, which is, you know, very, very important there. And you see the inspiration of former Iconics. You see Sean Spears. You see Matt Cardona and others. And I'm like, where's the other like non-wrestling podcasters out there? Where's the other nobodies like me? Oh no, you're the only one. You and one other show is who we're looking for. And I'm like, why? And they're like, oh, you know, and the rest is history. So, but yeah, this is awesome, man. I'm excited. And let me tell you something. I'll leave you all with this. You know, I always give this advice to all of you out there, even for those that are doing shows, for those that plan on doing shows, the fans, friends out there that may want to do a show in the future, whether you get one person tuning in or you get 1,000 people tuning in, never underestimate who is tuning in, because I can't tell you over the years how many times, and it's so cool to get DMs from people in wrestling that you would never, ever expect. Hey, man, just want to tell you, love your stuff. Just don't mention my name publicly because I don't need, you know, heat put on me. Some people will bring it publicly. When D'Lo Brown, a long time ago, D'Lo Brown starts bringing up, yeah, I bring your shows to Japan and we all tune in over there and this and that. You know, I was like, that's awesome. You know, so I don't mention names public unless they mention it publicly. But you never know who's tuning in. And, you know, I never in a million years. That's why I always resisted when some people say to me, oh, you only get 3,000 views on YouTube, but this other guy gets 30,000. What they don't understand is that I get 20-something thousand per episode just on the audio side. And if I got rid of all the outside networks and just kept it for like iTunes and Blue Wire, the numbers would be even bigger. But, you know, I don't look at it like that. But, you know, if I was this small, why would these places pick me up? They would get no money. They'd get no revenue. So never take it for granted and always, you know, treat everybody who tunes in with respect. And that's what I always vowed, even going back to 97. I don't care who is tuning in. I find it disrespectful to clickbait you, to tease, you know, like people will tease. I see some of these places, I see the headlines, and I'm like, God bless them, that they could get 20, 30, 40, 50,000 people to tune into their show. And meanwhile, you read their title, and everything about the title is a lie. You know, Saturday, oh, we're going to have a field day with Edge. Edge. Oh, yeah. Edge didn't want to do paranormal stuff, so WWE said, okay, you're out. We're going to have so much fun Saturday with that one. Hey, you know, that's what other people do. Good for them. God bless them. So I'm not going to single out any particular website, Mike, but a lot of people clickbait because it's successful. It's successful. You look at outside of wrestling, you go all over social media, there's a boatload of clickbait out there. People still tune in. So, but take note. Take note. Do you ever see anybody who clickbaits landing nice deals? No, because at the end of the day, the places that are, they're looking for legitimacy, they're looking for accuracy, they're looking for honesty, they're looking for integrity. Yeah, they're also looking for substance and a little bit of style, but they're not looking for clickbait stuff because anybody could do clickbait stuff. And the best ones are the ones on YouTube where they don't even have a human talking. They use text-to-speech. In other news, Roman Reigns is rumored to be dropping the title and Drew McIntyre was arrested for attempted murder and blah, 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 blah. And you read it and it's like, I mean, this is fucking true. And meanwhile, you look at it, and there's like 75,000 people that watch it, and it's got like 900 likes. I'm like, all right, everybody, I'm out of here. Good night.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers.
WrestleMania.
No balls. If
That's
I wanted
one of
something,
them.
I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us.
Rest in peace, Ray
but
Liotta.
If you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who claim they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.